In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Please be seated. Well, this morning's epistle begins with a finishing of a thought, an exhortation, if you will, from the Apostle Paul, which, if we are to pursue a proper word from our Lord this morning, then it bears hearing the entirety of Paul's thought, in which we must backtrack to the last verse of Ephesians chapter 4, where the apostle says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children." Even as God in Christ forgave you. Every time we go to confession, have we not heard similar words? As the prayer of the priest states, "O Lord Jesus Christ, who hath left power to his church to absolve all sinners who truly repent and believe in him, of his great mercy, forgive thee thine offenses." Likewise, here in this morning's epistle, the Apostle Paul implores us to be both giving and forgiving. If you are an imitator of God, that is, if you truly desire to be like him, to walk in love as he, then you must follow his example. Give yourselves to one another, just as he has given himself over to each and every one of you. As the great expositor Charles Spurgeon once noted, "Give, for if he were not to give, our lives would end. Give, for he gives unto all men liberally, and upbraids not. And every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Be you imitators of God, the constant, generous giver, who spared not his own son. Thanks be to his name for that unspeakable gift." But then comes the much harder task, to forgive. As God, for Christ's sake, forgives us, we therefore must freely forgive those who have wronged us, so that whenever we bow the knee, we may say in all purity, "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." By giving, by forgiving, we become, as Paul affirms, imitators of Christ. By those two things, we show unto the world what it truly means to walk in love, the very love in which Christ hath for the entire world. Christ, as Paul conveys, hath delivered himself for us as an oblation and a sacrifice to God for an odor of sweetness. Therefore, let us be imitators of our most holy and wonderful God by giving and forgiving, which is our Christian duty. In doing so, we, like Christ, who exercises his supreme authority over Satan in this morning's gospel, we too cast out the devil that lurks within our hearts. Yes, the very beast that would have us serve only ourselves, our cravings, our wants, and confine ourselves to the pit of our own sins and negligences against our fellow man. A friend of mine, and some of you here know him, Father John Wargle, has a name for such a beast, and he describes it in his book entitled The Little Book of Big Frontiers. And in this book, He denotes that we all have a dragon within us, which seeks to destroy our souls through the vices of sin. A dragon which thirsts and hungers for individual glory and gratification. A dragon which subtly and deviously works to knock down the walls of righteousness and holiness that we have erected within our hearts. And I think that we have all felt the ravings and madness of such a beast at one point or another in our lives, where we have acted selfishly or disingenuous, or have been provoked to harbor anger or sought after the lust of the flesh. Because we all know what it's like to experience such moments, of which I pray we are all ashamed and have confessed to Christ, this morning's gospel, by way of the demon within the man, serves as a constant reminder that each of us has a dragon brooding within us. For such a dragon is not of God, but of Satan. And we feel the dragon's presence the moment we cease to imitate Christ. And that dragon becomes more emboldened with each day. With each day that passes when we neglect to live for Christ. This morning's gospel provides us so much concerning the struggles of the human condition, which for the sake of time, we cannot possibly detail them all. But what we can focus on and know this morning is that it ultimately comes down to a conflict between two powers, the power of God against the powers of the devil. We either imitate Christ or we imitate the dragon. Throughout most fictional literature, dragons are often depicted as being aggressively territorial beasts, usually living in isolation from others of its kind. It takes what it wants, what it covets, the jewel of its eye, and sits on its plunder, an isolated throne, if you will, for the remainder of its days, at least until it is challenged. Is this how we envision living the rest of our lives? In isolation, isolating ourselves from our Christian brethren, from potential believers in Christ, from Christ himself. But this is how it will be for those that listen to and fulfill the cravings of the beast within. Make no mistake about it. Such a life will be shut out from the glories of God. But don't we desire something much greater? Don't we desire Christ above all else? Is that not why we are here this morning? Therefore, let us be like Christ, who said, "Get behind me, Satan," and say the same to the dragon within, and with the same breath pray the words, "Christ before me, and Christ be in me." Our Lenten journey is an opportunity to do just that. What better way to imitate Christ than through embracing the great Lenten fast? As we deprive ourselves of those beastly cravings, as we continue in love, as we pursue the truth of the gospel, as we take on the words of Paul to give and forgive, just as Christ never stops giving and forgiving, as we endeavor to walk as children of light, may we imitate him, the Holy of Holies, in all things, as we continue towards the summit of Golgotha and, like Christ, bear our cross to the end. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.